moment to moment practice. As we know that as we learn Dharma, end of the day, we need to practice to be able to understand. And there's something different today, in the sense that Brother Teo will give a talk on this moment to moment practice. And after that, will be followed by a session of meditation practice, in order to be able to appreciate what Brother Teo will explain to us. Alright? So, without taking much time, I think, as usual, let us take refuge and observe the precept. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight, the Dhamma talk, the arrangement will be slightly different. I was told by Brother Gan, you all prefer actually to combine a little bit of the talk with about 30 minutes of short meditation. So I will try my best to fit it in, because usually 2-hour session is very difficult to do both. Unless it is just a meditation, then we have a very short explanation of what this meditation is all about. Then we proceed to meditation, then there's a Q&A, like our Thursday class. But the same duration, you try to fit in a Dhamma talk. Normally, Dhamma talk is just nice for about 1.5 to 2 hours. But because today's topic is quite different, in a way, quite unique, then I can actually cut short. So to help you understand, maybe this topic also linked to the meditation. So as you can see the title, I put there, I adjusted the title a bit. I put the word understanding in front. Understanding moment-to-moment cultivation, or if you prefer, you call it practice. For those who understand, they prefer the word cultivation, because cultivation is different from practice. Practice means like you practice how to do something repetitive, understand? But meditation is not repetitive, understand? Like you practice how to ride a bicycle. You keep on trying, practicing. Yeah? Practice how to actually swim or play badminton or whatever. So that one is constant training, repetitive. So the aim is to become skillful. But meditation, on the other hand, is to be done with understanding. So the understanding demands a cultivation. So cultivation encompasses many things. So that's why the preferred word is understanding, moment-to-moment cultivation. So we need to understand clearly what we meant by this word, moment-to-moment. From the direct translation, it's very easy, right? But the implication of it in meditation is totally different. Understand? When we talk about meditation, we need to understand clearly what is meditation and how can we develop meditation. So to develop meditation, you have to have a meditative mind. And what is this meditative mind that the Buddha talked about? Anybody can recall? Yeah? What is this mind that the Buddha talked about that you need to have in order to develop meditation? Huh? Someone says sati, which is not too wrong. But if you check the sutta, even before the Buddha passed away, what did he say? Apamadena sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness. So the key to meditation is to have heedfulness. Then Dhammapada verse 21, also very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you are as if dead. You cannot meditate. You cannot even have a chance to become enlightened. So it's as clear as that. So when we talk about moment-to-moment cultivation, means we are going to cultivate this heedfulness until the heedfulness is moment-to-moment, continuous, without a gap. That's why the Buddha defined heedfulness under Dhammapada, verse 23. Actually, verse 21, 22, 23 are related. Yeah. After verse 21, after he explained clearly the importance of heedfulness, then he gives emphasis to make it very clear to you why this heedfulness is so important. So Dhammapada verse 22, the Buddha continued to elaborate, he said, distinctly knowing the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, he said the wise, means the wise people, they will intend on heedfulness. And when they do that, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. You understand what are Aryas, eh? Eh? What are they? They are enlightened beings. Eh? Aryas are noble ones. So if you intend on heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment. You will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. You will be part of the Aryas. Then Dhammapada verse 23 confirmed everything. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and you hold on to these two cultivations steadfastly, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. Means you are destined for enlightenment. You definitely become enlightened. So constantly meditative, ever mindful, you combine these two, it becomes heedfulness, apamada. So moment-to-moment cultivation demands a kind of cultivation that will train your mind until that mindfulness is so stable that your mind can become ever mindful. But ever mindful, without clear comprehension, can do something else, anasana. Like the Tai Chi people. Yeah? Or you do Qigong and all those things involving the movement. You can be very mindful. They are also ever mindful when they are doing that. But their focus and their intention is different. That's why that is sati, but not samasati. So samasati is very different. Samasati, you use that sati, ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why the constantly meditative means using this mind that has been trained, ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, means constantly meditative. And then you are being heedful. Means you train your mind to understand the essential Dhamma, then you develop this cultivation until the conditions are there, then it can insight into phenomena. That's why this type of meditation is called insight meditation or vipassana. You want to insight into the characteristics of phenomena so that you can understand their universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature. So this ability to insight demands a mind that is ever mindful. That's why you must have a mind that is moment to moment, ever mindful, with clear comprehension, without delusion, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is basically the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So if you are ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you will definitely become enlightened. Because the Buddha under Fourth Noble Truth make it very clear. He said there is a noble truth that talk about the path that leads to the end of all suffering. Namely, the Noble Eightfold Path. So you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the enlightenment that will liberate your mind so that you will be able to end all suffering. So given this understanding, we will have to actually move into the understanding of how we can develop this cultivation. A lot of people make the mistake by just going direct into the retreat and do the cultivation. So they think, if I can slow everything down in the retreat, develop that so-called mindfulness, or if I do vipassana, certain type of technique and method, that I can also become enlightened. So this moment-to-moment cultivation become like a method and a technique. So if you do that, it will not actually help you. Because meditation, like I always explain, is to be done with understanding. Understanding means what? Our main focus is to train this mind to be heedful, correct? Can follow or not? And what is heedfulness? There are two parts, isn't it? Ever mindful, then use that mind that is trained, that is ever mindful, to constantly cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the enlightenment. So if you go into a retreat, you forgot about these two, you lost your focus and you don't know what you are doing and you follow instruction. Note this, note that, do this, do that. You walk, you sit, you torture yourself. But you are not training your mind to be ever mindful. They say anapanasati, you do anapanasati. Watch rising, falling, you do watch rising, falling. Every time you are not watching this or noting this or doing anapanasati, you say you are not meditating. But this moment-to-moment mindfulness is exactly like what the Buddha explained under the four foundation of mindfulness. This four foundation of mindfulness is actually part of the Noble Eightfold Path under samasati. So four foundation of mindfulness is very clear. First foundation is kayanupasana. Okay? Kayanupasana, there are six categories of practices. The first one is what? Anapanasati. You train your mind to develop mindfulness of this in and out breath, because this is a very neutral object that even the Buddha himself did. So he said, you start with anapanasati if it suits you. Of course, in the other part of the sutta, you can also see the Buddha recommending other type of skillful means or technique for meditation or meditation object to the monks and the bhikkhus. So you can use anyone. Even Buddha Anusati, Marana Anusati, all those Anusati, contemplative, or even chanting of the nine great virtues of the Buddha, Ittipeso Bhagava. And even in the Thai tradition now, they introduce Budo. There's some use Samarahang and all those things. These are all skillful means to train the mind to be aware, to be mindful. Immediately after you have trained this mind, the Buddha said, you have to move on to the next category of cultivation, which is the mindfulness of the four postures. This is very important. It means throughout the day, when you are aware, awake, whatever posture you are in, you must at least have the ability to maintain awareness of that posture. Then later on, you have to move on from the four posture to the third category of cultivation, which is sati sampajana. Sati sampajana is not only mindfulness, but you have to develop mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. Means all the connecting activity that connect the four posture. You have to develop that continuous mindfulness. If you do that, that is moment to moment daily mindfulness. But for you to actually have the ability to do and start, you have to train your mind to be ever mindful. That's why all of meditation start with method, technique, and all those various skillful means to actually train the mind. Because the mind that is untrained thinks a lot, heedless. And the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, they are very powerful. So meditation, if you want to do it with understanding, you need to go to the essential teachings of the Buddha. He already explained, why are you not mindful? Why is your mind not peaceful? How come you cannot develop this meditative state to straight away go into meditation, to be heedful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the awakening? The main reason being, he said, throughout the day, when we live our daily life, we don't have the spiritual faculty to support us. And because we lack the spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances take over. They arise because of ignorance, delusion. So this five mental hindrance I have to skip because we don't have enough time. What you can do is, because I have actually had this transcript, 12 September 2013, Thursday class is very detailed. I think those who attend from your clan site, they have a copy each. So later on, if you are interested in meditation, it's very useful if you can make a copy of it and go back and read first. Because there are a lot of information here that describe to you clearly how to develop the meditation with understanding. What I describe here is just a summary. So the more details are here. So later on, hopefully you all can contact Brother Gan or Brother Tay. They can actually lend you this book, or you can ask them to help you to photostat. So coming back to the cultivation, the Buddha under the essential Dharma explained the reason why you are not able to have this meditative mind or mindfulness within is because you lack the five spiritual faculty, and because of that, the five hindrance continuously hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, aware, and clear within. So these five hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. And in order to overcome this five, the Buddha said, you have to cultivate the opposite five with other five spiritual faculties. These are called spiritual faculty because they can actually allow you to develop spiritual understanding. So the spiritual faculty, as we all know, they are Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So he said, the moment you cultivate this spiritual faculty, the hindrance will cease to be. Then because you have the faith, Sada, leading to Virya, through knowing who the Buddha is, how wonderful his teaching is, and how special a being he is. So this Virya, spiritual zeal, will motivate you to cultivate. That's why Sati will come about. So you can cultivate this spiritual faculty through puja, which the Buddha has recommended. That's why we are actually trained or told by the Buddha to develop this spiritual faculty through puja. So these puja are actually meditation technique, or what they call skillful means, that the Buddha has introduced since the time when he became enlightened in India. So that you can cultivate with understanding, understand who the Buddha is, his nine great virtues, and what the Dhamma is, and what the Sangha is. That's why you will understand clearly what this Triple Gem is all about, and how important is it that you need to take refuge with the Triple Gem. Then the salutation to the Buddha. That's why we start our puja by doing that. Just now you chant salutation to the Buddha. You renew your refuge. Then you renew your five precepts. The five precepts is to help you avoid all evil, do good, and then later on purify your mind, following the advice of the Buddha, based on the right view of law of karma. And this I have already explained. So if you do all this, then after that we have our sharing, meditation. Then you develop further merits through listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, paying respect, rejoicing. Then towards the end of your session, you have your closing puja. You share merit, transfer merit. Then you invoke power of merits to make aspiration so that your whole of this cultivation can be guided appropriately. Yeah. Then this meritorious action that you have developed, almost all the 10 meritorious action, it can become your very strong support. And when you make use of this support to make the appropriate pure wish or aspiration as advised by the Buddha, you chant imina punyang kamena, by the power of this wholesomeness, may it arise the causes and condition for you to avoid all the foolish and the heedless, so that you can meet out with the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. So if you make the aspiration, nature's law will actually come out with causes and conditions to bring you to fruition of what your aspiration is. So if you do that, then it's a safer way to develop the cultivation. This only prepare you to have the spiritual faculty. Then after that, you pay respect mindfully. Then the Buddha said you need to develop meditation practices training. That's why with the spiritual faculty, you need to develop the first training is sati, mindfulness. So sati and mindfulness, I have already explained here. If you still have problem with your mind, the hindrances are still very strong because you are hardly mindful throughout the day. Most of the day when you are in your daily life, back to society, you are totally heedless. You are seldom mindful, seldom aware, and your mind is most of the time very, very heedless. So because of that, the Buddha said, you need to train the heedless mind, decondition it so that it becomes heedful. Yeah. So that's why in meditation, you have various techniques. Of course, most people go into meditation technique and method to anchor the mind so that this mind does not wander off heedlessly, so that it will not think. It will just stay there, centered, aware of the breathing. When you are just aware of the in and out breath, there is no thought, then you develop mindfulness and sati. Then this mind stabilizes. Then it develops what they call all the various types of mind state that comes with this training. The first very beautiful mind state is piti. Piti is spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Some people call it spiritual rapture. Then it can lead to sukha, bliss. Then finally, if you train until this mind is very stable, it will lead to paucity, tranquility of mind, the silent mind, or the meditative mind. And that is the mind that you need to develop. When you are able to develop that, then samadhi will start to build up. Yeah. So sati, when stabilized, becomes samadhi. But this is only training in a retreat. After you train, you're supposed to make use of this mind that is trained, that is ever mindful, to cultivate the four postures in daily life. And that is the most important. So here we are talking about developing the spiritual faculties, then stabilizing the mindfulness using the various methods and techniques. But if you still find it difficult, then you can go one step before to decondition your heedless thinking by using the mind sweeping method combined with metta, which I used to teach in the meditation. You read through the transcript, you will understand. Then when you are able to just feel and relax, no thinking, the heedless thinking will start to slow down. Then it will start to decondition all this heedless thinking to become more and more silent, more and more peaceful, more and more aware, and more with the moment. Then you train the mind to be at the location you want. Via mind sweeping method, you train your mind to be aware and just silent at the place you want it to be. So this training is very good. Then after that, when your mind is more calm and more peaceful, less heedless, then you anchor it to a meditation object. Then you stabilize it. It can be anapanasati or anything. Then after you have done that, when you come out of the meditation, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then you're supposed to carry this stable mind state into your daily life. That is what we meant by moment-to-moment cultivation. The daily mindfulness that will link up your whole cultivation and practice. If you cannot do this, you will not be able to have the ability to insight into phenomena. So that today's talk, we cover knowing and seeing. So this one is spoken in one of the sutta called Sabbasava Sutta. The Buddha said, all of defilement, they can only be rooted out by someone who sees and knows. Not by someone who doesn't see and doesn't know. So seeing is direct seeing with the silent mind. The mind that is ever mindful without thought. Then understanding is the wisdom part. The awakening. The wisdom born of that direct seeing. So when you have the direct seeing and you awaken the phenomena, especially the three characteristics, then you develop understanding, which is wisdom, then you are not deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you sense through your senses. Then when you understand all of the characteristics of nature, especially impermanent, leading to the suffering state and the non-self or empty nature, your mind is completely different. That's why this Sabbasava Sutta is very important. So the Buddha said, when you want to cultivate daily mindfulness, even after you have stabilized your mind to be ever mindful, then you are able to do the four posture. Then you are able to actually develop sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of the four important clear comprehension. The first one is clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. You have to be very sincere that you cultivate this mindfulness, the four foundation, is to develop wisdom and nothing else. You are not going to deviate to get yourself involved in psychic, the sidetrack type of meditation. So if you have sincerity of purpose, then you understand what you want, then you will just focus on the cultivation to develop wisdom. That's it. Then you are not enticed by all the very, very wonderful experience of meditation. whatever state, how wonderful and how peaceful, how calm, how strong, when it arises, the key support is to relax into it. Don't go and focus and concentrate and go and develop all the energy field. You can get sidetracked if you do that. But if you want to experience them for what they are, you can try. But you have to be very careful. You need people who can guide you, to advise you. Otherwise, you can get into trouble. Then after the first clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, you have to understand the second clear comprehension. That this type of meditation can be done anywhere, any place, anytime. Means the domain of meditation. You don't have to be at a quiet place, at a retreat center, or in the temple, or away from society. The Buddha said this daily mindfulness, which is the four posture and the sati sampajana, can be done in the midst of life itself, in the midst of doing your work, in the midst of traveling, driving, swimming, later on even sleeping. That's why if you read sati sampajana, you have to develop stability of mindfulness to be aware of every action and every movement. Initially, it's standing, you're aware. Then, when you are looking forward, you're aware. Turning, bending, stretching, every movement, you're aware. Then later on, even when you turn around, develop all the four posture, answering nature's call, putting on your whatever clothing. The monks, they say the four piece, robe and other things. You have to develop mindfulness. When you eat, when you chew, when you swallow, every action, every movement in the present moment. But he never asked you to slow down your action. You're supposed to develop mindfulness to slow down the mind, anasana, the thinking mind. If you can be mindful, you will not think. But because you are always on the thought process, heedlessly thinking and thinking and thinking, you are hardly mindful of the moment. Your kaya nupasana is very weak. If your kaya nupasana is very strong, your body and mind always as one. Every aspect of your kaya, whether your breathing or your vibration, your heartbeat or physical movement or activity, even the blinking of your eye, whatever movement and action within the kaya, you are always mindful. Then later on, it will extend to your hearing, to your seeing, to your smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. That's why you can be mindful of the four foundations. From kaya, you can move into feeling, vedana, then citta, then all of dhamma. So this type of clear comprehension is very important, that you will not be foolish to complain that, oh, I cannot meditate, because I don't have the time. This place is not conducive. This is all excuses. And you cannot understand the clear comprehension of domain of meditation. But when you understand, anywhere, anytime, any place you can meditate. Then the third one is, you have to understand the suitability. Clear comprehension of suitability. The most important time is now. The most important place is here. The most important people are those whom you can help, reach, or be with. Then you will not be like foolishly projecting your thought or recalling the past. Your mind is always centered on the suitability of whatever is within the moment. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. So your daily mindfulness, when you have mindfulness and clear comprehension of this, you will not get into trouble. Clear comprehension of non-delusion is the 10 defilement of insight. You are not deluded by the 10 defilement of insight. When you establish your meditation, then you will experience the 10 defilement of insight. They are very beautiful states, but you know them for what they are. You will not be deluded by it, and you will not get trapped. Those who do energy field, they have to be very careful. That's why the Surangama Sutta talk about the 52 deviant samadhi state. that are very, very advanced meditative experience that you can be trapped in if you are not careful. So this four type of clear comprehension will actually protect you from debating. Okay? So after you have done that, we will have to actually move on to the actual cultivation in daily life. So the Buddha said defilement has so many types. How can you really root them out? How can you cultivate to develop the wisdom to liberate your mind? So under Sabha Asava Sutta, the Buddha explained very clearly. The first cultivation, oh, just now, I think, Brother Gan rub off. Huh? So this one is number two. Huh? This is restraint. Huh? The first one is what? Huh? First one is what? Huh? Right one. Ah. The Buddha said you must have right attention. And this is a very general explanation. He said, when you confront life, you have a lot of thought going on. You have to pay attention to many things about life, career, all the question, all the what they call mystery of life. So he said, you must have right attention. Right attention means what? The Buddha said, there are things that are suitable for you to pay the right attention. Yeah. But there are things that are also unfit for attention. So he said, how do you find out? You must have mindfulness, the Buddha said. When you attend to things that are unfit for attention, the Buddha said, you will come to realize the unarisen asava or defilement, they will come to be, they will arise. Then the arisen asava, they will become more strong, they will proliferate. So these are the things you shouldn't pay attention to. Yeah. But then you cannot just ignore them, understand? Because if you ignore them, you cannot actually free your mind. So the Buddha teach you to develop understanding first, wisdom first. Then he explained what are the things that is fit for attention. He said the thing that are fit for attention is the moment you pay attention, the arisen asava or defilement, they will cease to be. The unarisen cannot arise. And he even explained what are these things that is fit for attention. Then the Buddha explained, the things that are fit for attention are the Four Noble Truths. That's why you have to develop attention on this Four Noble Truths. Then cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths to develop the wisdom. So the wisdom part is here. You have to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. The three types of corresponding wisdom will arise. Suttamaya Panya, Cittamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. Then after that, he also recommended the five daily contemplation that you have to contemplate every day to help you overcome First Noble Truth reality. So this one is part of the second turning wisdom of the three turning. Then you have the various anusati, or what they call contemplative wisdom. You got the marana anusati, buddha anusati, Dhamma Nusati, Sangha Nusati, and the various Anusati, contemplative wisdom. And all this you need to develop so that you can straighten your view, so that you can actually develop the right understanding to confront sense data. So in your daily life, when you cultivate daily moment-to-moment mindfulness, or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, if you don't straighten your view, what will happen is every time you see something, hear something, or think of something, or perceive something, your mind tend to have this wrong view, and you will react. You will respond to duality. And as well, there's a like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. The defilement will arise. The five mental hindrances will arise, the first two. And because of that, you need to actually develop the right view, straighten your view through the contemplative wisdom, so that the next moment when you confront the similar sense object with similar situation, you know how to attend to it using the Four Noble Truth wisdom appropriately. Then you can actually exercise all these other practices that the Buddha specified. He said there are certain defilements that arise. When they arise, you need to exercise restraint. What are the things that you need to exercise restraint so that they will not cause your defilement to arise? The one that need to exercise restraint are your precepts, because you have undertaken the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. So when you see something and you want to get angry and become emotional and violent, the moment you are aware, you have already undertaken the training rule to abstain, not to do it. So you have to exercise restraint. If you don't exercise restraint, it will transgress from mental intention into action speech, then you will actually break the precept. And it can actually cause you to develop karmic negativity. Yeah. So this restraint part is mainly to deal with precept. Then the Buddha said there are certain defilements that you have to endure. Like the physical body, it will go through the stages of decay, getting old, getting sick, and one day die, even injury. Even in your meditation, you have to exercise endurance and acceptance of whatever that is going on, the pain, the itchiness, all those things. Then you need to develop wisdom to relax into it so that you can actually overcome it. Then if you need medical attention, then you seek medical attention. But you do not attach and cling and grasp and react to all those sense experience. So there are defilements that need restraint, defilements that need endurance and acceptance. Then when it comes to the four requisites, you need to reflect on the usage, so that you are not deluded by what these four requisites are. Then for lay people, are all the materialistic things that you have. You have to exercise understanding of the proper usage, not to indulge, not to get yourself entangled. That will lead to downfall, violation of precept and all those things. Then you need to develop avoidance of certain things. Like you have already undertaken the aspiration, ipmina punyang kamina. So you need to develop avoidance of all those foolish and heedless people. Then you need to be ever mindful of dangerous situation where this form of mind, because it is very fragile, you have to make sure it is not subject to unnecessary risk. Then, of course, the last one is removal. The sixth one is removal. Removal or abandon. These are the four right efforts. When you have seen the unwholesome thought already arisen, you have to exercise the right effort to abandon it. Understand not? Or unwholesome speech, action, livelihood that has arisen, you have to exercise right effort to abandon it. Then later on, as you become more and more mindful through your cultivation, then you can arise the right effort to prevent it from arising, because you can understand all this. Then later on, the right effort to cultivate the opposite wholesome quality, virtue and all those things that are still not in you. Then the last right effort is to refine upon it, perfect it, so that this virtue become part of your parami. Then the last one is, of course, meditation. You have to develop the seven factors of enlightenment, leading to enlightenment, liberation of mind. So this one is the cultivation of the fourth foundation of mindfulness. Under Dhamma Nupassana, you start with five hindrances, mindfulness of the five hindrances. Five mental hindrances. Then the five aggregates of form and mind. Then the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. And then seven factors of enlightenment. Then after that, only the Four Noble Truths. So they are all connected. The whole of this cultivation is connected. So what I want you to understand is you have to develop it with understanding, not just be gullible. Hear people say, oh, this is the highest meditation, power of now, moment-to-moment mindfulness, daily mindfulness. So you just, throughout the day, just do. Or note rising, falling. This is vipassana. And then you become gullible. Spiritual faculty not there. Hindrance still around. You are not mindful. You are not heedful. How can you meditate? The Buddha said, without heedfulness, you are as it did. That's why you must have minimum mindfulness leading to the state of stability that can make you ever mindful, then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. Then only you are heedful. And when you are heedful, that is only the beginning of meditation. You have to go into daily life. Okay? So this is what I need to summarize to you today. Hopefully with this understanding, when you read this book, you will understand. Then this book is very useful. There is a question at the end, which I will read to you. It will let you have the understanding. Under Q&A. Okay. I will read the earlier part first. When you listen to the Dhamma, the most important focus is to develop right view, which is very important, to straighten your earlier wrong view, so that you are no longer deluded. Then you will know how to go about developing the cultivation with right understanding. When your right view is there, ignorance or avijja will be reduced. Then the first two links of the paticca samuppada, which is avijja paccaya sankhara, will be weakened, leading to less mental activity or sankhara. And this will in turn lead to clarity of mind. When you don't think so much, you got less thought to cloud you. Hence, less heedless and more mindful and heedful. That's why this is how you cultivate daily mindfulness. After you have straightened your view, then avijja, which is ignorant, will be weakened. And dependent on this weakened avijja, sankhara, which is the mental activity, your thinking, your emotion, your reaction, and your heedlessness will also weaken. So sankhara, which is your mental activity and thinking and mental volition and mental states and mental reaction, etc., they will start to slow down. Then as you continue to straighten your view until your wrong view is no more, avijja paccaya sankhara will also cease to be. That is how you will develop the ability to be ever mindful, because by then you hardly think. You don't deludedly go and think. You don't think anymore. This is also the reason why the enlightened ones are always heedful and they don't need to think anymore. They only use thought when they need it. That's why I always tell you all, you don't have to think. But for most of you, it is so difficult because the mental hindrance and the ignorance or avijja and self-delusion, they are still there. So sankhara keep on arising following the first two links of the law of dependent origination. That's why the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara anicchang, all of sankhara, all of your mental activity and thinking, everything that your mind can do, they are impermanent because they come and they go. Then why do you hold on to it, cling on to it? Then the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara dukkham. The moment you hold and cling, suffering will be the result. You attach and hold deludedly, hence suffering is the result. This is the reason why the Buddha taught the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. He always used the word sankhara, as sankhara is inclusive of your feeling and perception aggregate. Hence, it is a term for the content of consciousness. That is, it includes all mental activity within the consciousness. So when you understand that, you must listen with understanding to develop the right view to straighten your wrong view. When you have more and more right view, you will become less and less deluded. Then you will know how to live life, and craving will gradually be reduced. Then finally, when you are no longer deluded, craving will be rooted out. And with no more craving, your mind is liberated. Craving is desire that comes from ignorance, which is mainly your sacrality or self-delusion that condition you to be greedy, that condition you to grasp, cling and hold because you think you exist. The me and the I, the personality, the ego, the self, or the atta created the selfishness, created the person who tried to own things and have things. That's how you have greed, selfishness, desire, craving and lust, etc. All come from the ego. Without the ego, the I and the me, there is nobody to be greedy or selfish. Things are just the way they are, not what you think. That's why wisdom is free, because it can root out all this delusion. Without wisdom, it's very difficult to cultivate. So always remember, guarding the sense door need wisdom, not effort. Then when listening to Dhamma, you must also reflect, contemplate, and later on cultivate to develop the three turning wisdom of Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya. So this part is very important reminder. Then I will read through the last question. There is a sister who asked from the floor. I think it's Sister Ingby. She said, last time I used to have this wrong understanding that samadhi can only be developed during a formal sitting meditation posture. But last Sunday, during the Heart Sutta class, basing on your explanation, I suddenly realized that samadhi can also be developed during daily mindfulness. Is it right? I said, yes, it is right. It can be developed. Then she asked another question. Ratio, I would like to ask, how can we develop samadhi during daily mindfulness cultivation? This is a very important question. So now I will read to you. Okay. Engby has asked a very good question because she had developed some form of cultivation early on. Earlier on, she thought samadhi can only be developed during formal meditation when the mind is much calmer and more stable. This can happen because your senses are mostly down or less active during formal meditation. Also, during formal meditation, the condition and setting are usually more conducive. But when you come out to live life, you are in an active mode. Your seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness are all actively functioning. Because you got to act, you got to move, and you got to be aware of so many things. And your thoughts keep on arising. And sometimes mental hindrances are there. So in the active state of daily life, samadhi is very difficult. That's why it needs to be trained. Samadhi in daily life can only come about when your daily mindfulness is very stable. This is what I told you earlier on. Then there are two types of cultivation, namely formal meditation and daily mindfulness. You want to understand, you go back and read on your own. Then I have to move on. Okay, I read to you this part. The formal meditation, to me, if you ask me personally, is not enough. It's not the real meditation as yet. The real meditation only starts when you have stabilized your mindfulness to go into daily life, to cultivate the daily mindfulness leading to the heedfulness. That is when the real meditation starts. That's why I always tell you all, not until you have stabilized your mindfulness and go into the daily life to cultivate sati sampajana, which is mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement within the present moment as taught by the Buddha under Kaya Nupassana. The meditation has not started as yet. Then the rest you go and read. There are quite a bit of very good notes there. Then I will read to you on this part, which is the samadhi part. So to stabilize the samadhi in daily life, you need a very stable daily mindfulness. That's why I always tell you all, when you are in a retreat or in a formal meditation, don't just sit without any understanding. Not much point. There are times to sit to realize the cessation. You can also lie down during the formal meditation. Then to understand clearly what is going on. You may have to go deep into consciousness and then just let things be and silence your mind. All this can be done. And formal meditation will be of help. But that one in the formal meditation, you cannot live life. Yet you need some of those experience to go deep into consciousness, deep inside, so that the wisdom can be developed. Because when it comes to cessation of form and mind leading to a realization of Nibbana, it is a totally different understanding. And you need a formal meditation to develop it. Unless it's just only a glimpse or a momentary one in daily life, it can happen. That's why the realization of sainthood is just one moment of pure cessation of consciousness or form and mind, leading to the realization of that glimpse of Nibbana. And it is an entire cessation of form and mind within that moment itself. So when you go into daily mindfulness, you have to start from mindfulness of the four posture meditation. That's why you alternate between walking and sitting in formal meditation. And because walking is more active, when you can do that, you develop daily mindfulness. Similarly for bowing, it can also develop daily mindfulness. Then daily contemplation, reflection, is also mindfulness training. That's the reason why we have to do a lot of contemplative meditation as taught by the Buddha, like Maranānusati, contemplation on the dead, followed by Buddhanusati, Dhammanusati, and Sanghanusati. Then I skip this, I go to the next one. So for a stable samadhi, you need a stable mindfulness until throughout the day, you are most of the time mindful. That is what moment-to-moment cultivation is all about. It doesn't come overnight. Initially, it's like more and more moments of awareness or mindfulness and less moment of heedlessness. And this can only come about when your wisdom has started to arise, when your right view has become more and more stable. When you have more and more right view, then avijja, which is ignorance, will start to weaken. And then you will have less and less sankhara, which is your thinking and mental activity. When you have less sankhara, it's like you have less and less of these thoughts, less and less of this mental hindrance. Then from heedless living, slowly it transforms into heedful living. The moment you are heedful and aware, you are no longer heedless. What does it mean? The heedless thinking and the hindrance of mind had started to slow down and become less and less until one day, no more. That's how you become heedful, which means ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation as taught by the Buddha. When you are heedful, you are most of the time aware with a lot of clarity because there is practically no thought at all. You only arise thought when you need to use them to live life. In order to be in that state, your spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya must be very strong. Otherwise, you cannot reach that state. To reach that state, the wisdom must also arise. So that's why the focus is finally still on wisdom. Even with Samadhi, let's say, you hold on to the continuous mindfulness. Some people do that. They develop Anapanasati until they are so stable that they can carry the jhana for 24 hours. I got one teacher who can do that during his younger days. He can hold on to his jhana and maintain continuous mindfulness for 24 hours because his Anapanasati is very stable and very strong. So if you depend on that samadhi born of energy field like jhana, not wisdom, to become peaceful, then those anusaya or latent tendency, they are still suppressed and you don't know. That's why in the strong jhanic state, which is a conditioned state of apana samadhi, you have to release it out to normal awareness of upachara samadhi so that it is not too strong. If it's too strong, it is not a free mind, but a conditioned state. It doesn't reflect the real state. It doesn't reflect whether you have wisdom or not because you are using this apana samadhi born of a concentrated mind to suppress whatever defilement or latent tendency, anusaya. And then it's like you are enlightened because you cannot get angry in those jhanic state. You are very peaceful. You are also full of metta. And all these states can arise. But when you grow old, when you become weaker as age catches up, you lose your ability to enter jhana, to develop the energy field that you need to maintain this type of jhanic experiences. Then when they realize that they start to have suffering. They start to become miserable via asking questions like, oh, what happened? Because when they compare last time with the jhana, it was so beautiful, so perfect. The mind is so still, like enlightened. Then after those things are gone, they want to get it back, but they can't get it. When they realize that they have become so weak and so fragile and like so useless, they develop fear. Because finally, when old age, sickness and death catches up, they can still be threatened. Because they don't know what that form of mind is. They still think that this form of mind is what they are. That is, the form of mind is a human being. And this human being, who is the me and the I, cultivate until enlightenment. That's why the sakkādhiṭṭhi or self-delusion is still there. They cannot break free. So when you do all this concentration, cultivation, or meditation, especially samatha meditation, you still need to release your concentration or absorption to normal awareness to cultivate daily mindfulness in daily life to realize the wisdom. When you cultivate anapanasati wrongly, it can also lead to continuous absorption or continuous mindfulness for you to cling or to attach to. You also need to release it out. Otherwise, you will get trapped inside this very strong jhanic state. So when you release it out and go into daily mindfulness, the daily mindfulness must be stabilized until it becomes very stable. Like upachara samadhi. Then you use this heedful state to be aware of everything that is going on. When you use this heedful state to live your daily life and aware of everything that is going on, you will develop wisdom via the direct seeing. We are seeing things as they are. After that, you don't need the stable, collected, unwavering mind in apana or upachara samadhi to help you remain peaceful anymore. They are only needed initially for you to see things as they are, to insight into the characteristics of phenomena, to realize the wisdom. Because without this upachara samadhi, your mindfulness is too weak and you cannot see things as they are as yet, which means you cannot insight into the characteristics of nature because you cannot be with the moment of awareness without thought to see via the direct seeing the continuous arising, sustaining and passing away of all phenomena within the moment. This insight comes about without thought. You can only awaken to it via the direct seeing without thought when your mindfulness and samadhi are very stable. That's why when you see things as they are within that moment very clearly and your awareness can be with the moment, with the phenomena, during the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away, you will start to see them very clearly and later on will see them everywhere. That's why I always say truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. You can only do that when your mundane mind had already collapsed and you had perfected your mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot see. Because mind without wisdom is always clouded by thought due to ignorance. The mundane mind always come out and cloud your true mind. And then it makes you heedless. Very fast, you become heedless. So that question is very important because by now you should know that formal meditation doesn't bring about the real meditation because you still need to cultivate daily mindfulness, which is the most important. And you have to do it until throughout the day, most of the time, I won't say all the time, but most of the time you are just aware and silent. Body and mind just move as one. Your mind is always with the phenomena moving as one. Either with the physical, the mental, or nature's phenomena. They are always one together. When you are in that state, you will understand. The form and mind will know. Then you will start to see a lot of things. Because when this mind is silent, there is awareness. And you will start to insight into a lot of things. Not only you are aware of your mental intention, your subtle defilement, the subtle suffering and delusion, the minor conceit, etc. But everything else, you will start to see them clearly. The mind is now so different at this level. It is totally different. And this one, you have to go through the cultivation to understand. Otherwise, it's just what I'm sharing with you. Okay. 10:30 and okay, now we can start the meditation. I think, okay, you can rejoice first. Sadhu. Okay, maybe we can have 15 minutes of meditation. Then you can have Q&A another 10 to 15 minutes. You want to off the light? Up to you. So meditation, I won't give you any more instruction. For those who need instruction, you go and read the book. Okay? If you need to train your mind, you train. If you don't need to train, you just go into the meditation straight away. Okay? So I will ring the bell after 15 minutes. The key thing to meditation is to relax body and mind. Okay? Then, silent. If you cannot silent, means the hindrance are there. Then you need to train. Either mind sweeping method, combined metta, make it peaceful. Then anapanasati or whatever, rising, falling, any technique. Just silent it. Then after you have the ability to train this mind to be aware and stabilized, you need to continue to relax into it until the piti sukha becomes so subtle and refined that it transforms into pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind, which is the meditative mind, the inner silent mind. So when you reach that state, you just silent everything and don't try to do anything. Just silent. Maintain awareness anywhere within your kaya. The best place, go to your heart that time. Relax, silent, aware. Then you will understand many, many things. Then just stabilize that mind. Okay? Okay. Those who still want to meditate, eh? You can continue if you want to. Eh? Those have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Eh? Those who already know how to meditate, eh? You should try to develop this understanding of what is meditation. Eh? Whatever mind state that you have trained, developed, the inner peace, the inner calmness, and the inner awareness, you need to actually maintain this mind state that you have trained so that you can carry this trained mind into the daily life and cultivate the daily mindfulness. The sati sampajana, that is the real meditation. That is the meditation that will arise a lot of wisdom. Your daily mindfulness is where all the real defilement at the surface and the subconscious and the unconscious, you can see them all, even latent and what they call very, very subtle. You can start to see them when your mindfulness become continuous. Then all of the minor conceit, subtle craving, minor movement of mind state, you are fully aware, because you have gone through the silent mind meditation, and that will clearly develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, what this form of mind is all about. Then when you have clarity from that understanding, you will be very different. Then your mind state is very different. But to develop that understanding, you have to really, really train, develop the daily mindfulness until throughout the day, most of the time, you are aware. Then through that awareness, your mind will understand a lot of things. It will see things as they are very clearly. It will see your own mental intention, starting with the gross, then going into the more refined and more subtle. Until finally, even the latent tendency, or because they have their movement. And when you are very mindful, aware throughout the day, any slightest movement, because you are always aware from inside out. So whatever movement or stirring of mind has to arise from inside. From inside, it needs time to come out or get translated into action, speech. Then you act out of it, become transgression. So at the thought level, you can see them, then you can do something about it. That's why the four right effort can be cultivated first. Then later on, you develop the silent mind to develop wisdom. Then when wisdom arises, you will be able to trace the origination factor. Then through that wisdom, you straighten your view. Retrospectively, you reverse it. And then all the Sabbasava Sutta, you will start to understand very clearly, oh, the Buddha is very wise. That's why certain things you need restraint, certain things you need endure, and certain things you need to develop this ability to understand its proper usage, then avoidance, then removal, or what they call abandoning. Then how you develop the avoidance of all those dangerous situations and heedless people. Then how you make all the aspiration to tie with the cultivation. Then how finally you develop the seven factors of enlightenment leading to the awakening. Then when you start to live life that way, which is the heedful way, you become very different. You become a transformed living being, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, wisdom-wise, you are very different. That's why you become like completely transformed. And initially the thought cannot understand, and most people cannot understand you. But later on, as this wisdom deepens and become more and more stable, then finally it penetrates through emptiness. When you have clear understanding of life, then you can go back and blend into life again. That is the third stage of transformation. The Mahayana got this famous saying, initially when you are using your mundane mind, when you see mountain, you call it mountain, Kan San, Si San. Then as you develop mindfulness, silent mind and insight into phenomena, then you realize the mundane mind, the thinking mind, is not the true mind. Then when you use the true mind to see, to perceive, then you don't see anything. There is no mountain, no name, no labeling, nothing. You see things as they are. Then that stage, Kan San, Pu Si San. Then you realize it's delusion. There is no mountain. Mountain is idea, concept, words created by the thought. It's just a perception, no reality. Yeah. But as you penetrate deeper and deeper, then you understand, even though it's not real, but there is such thing as life, understand not? There is such thing as existing, condition arising world. Then you realize you can accept things as they are. No right, no wrong. People who say mountain, yeah, mountain. Those enlightened ones come, yeah, no mountain, no mountain. Means you got no more duality. And then, Kan San, you, Su San. That time when you see anything, still the same, yeah, mountain, mountain. Yeah. So that is the third phase. When you penetrate, life become beautiful. Yeah. That's why you got the three stages of Dhamma. Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. Then Patipatti, the second phase is most important. You put it into practice in daily life. Then you awaken. And then you get to live the third phase, Pativeda. The third phase is you reap the fruition of your hard work. You get to live the noble life of an enlightened one. Mm. Then you can actually experience and live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then life got full of meaning. Every moment is so beautiful, so wonderful, so pristine. Then your mind is so different. It can be with the moment, with such clarity, no fear, nothing, no worry, no anxiety. That the true nature is so beautiful. Then you understand the mundane mind for what it is, and you use it. The formal mind, you get to use it. Mm. Okay, now we open up for Q&A. You got any question? Huh? Yeah. Make full use of this. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I think I understand your question. Yeah. I know. I will answer you so that you can understand. Thank you for your question. You see, like just now I explained, there are three phases. So you are talking about the second phase, where Kan San, Pu Si San, then you don't like to talk to foolish people where they cannot understand you. Then like you say, you don't want to mix up with them, you don't want to end up chattering. But you have to be very careful now. Because there are another group of so-called vipassana guys, you know, who are conditioned their mind to be like that. You know, where they were told when you already enlightened, you must not have craving, you must not have desire. You must be mindful, heedful. So they try to behave like that and all. They don't want to interact with the world. They want to isolate them. That one is a conditioned mind, which is born of their conditioning, belief that they have to be like that. That one you can be trapped. But if you go through the normal cultivation, you will understand one. The mind will transform. Then you know no more meaning. But doesn't mean there is no life. But because of your wisdom, you will understand. If there is condition to arise, you will arise. If there is condition for that being, even deluded and heedless, with problem, come and see you, you will still help. Just like when I teach and share, you think I always meet up with the wise. Yeah? I meet up with all sorts of people, I tell you. Very funny people also come and see me because they got affinity. They came, and some without affinity also because they got this karmic past, karmic negativity. Then you have to be very careful. Otherwise, they get into trouble for nothing. That's why you need to have wisdom to understand all this. Doesn't mean when you transform, you become like isolate yourself from society. Good food cannot eat because this is craving. That is delusion. The Buddha never say good food cannot eat. He say you must not have craving for good food. When there is condition for good food, you can have the understanding of their proper usage. Eat, anasana, eat with understanding. It's just like when there is condition for you to have materialistic wealth, use it, anasana. Doesn't mean that, oh, I spiritual, no, I enlightened, I cannot own anything, give everything out. When you want to become monk, you renounce, yes, then you give everything out, anasana. You have to undertake the training rule to practice and cultivate. But when you understand already, you know that these things are condition arising, cause of phenomenon. When there is condition for you to own and to have, it will be there. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be. So when you have the condition to have them, if you know how to use them for the good of the many, why not? Understand? That's why the problem is not the money or the materialistic thing. Understand? It's just like what they call thought, your thought. Eh? They are neither evil or good, understand? The thought becomes evil because the user of thought is evil, you understand? Like money, money is neither good or evil. If the person who uses money is deluded, foolish, and what they call evil, then money becomes evil because he uses it with evil intention. So the user of thought, the user of money is very important. So when it comes to understanding life, that wisdom will guide you along how to live. And you can actually live life very much more meaningful than before. Understand? Before, you tend to be heedless. You tend to deceive. You tend to want to cheat, take advantage of the situation. Then you tend to try to lie your way through life. Understand? There are a lot of things like you want to get shortcut to get it. But as you transform with the Dhamma understanding, you will be wary of the law of karma. And you will never violate your precept. You will never do all this, what they call heedless thing anymore, deluded thing anymore. Then you will not get entangled by this form of mind anymore. You cannot be deluded by your thoughts, by all this form of mind. You cannot be deluded by what you see, the phenomenal world. You understand them very clearly because their characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self are very clear to you. So this mind is totally different. And it is so like pristine, so sincere, so full of love, compassion. It can only be of benefit to all. It has got no more negativity. Such a mind can live life, can become very beautiful. You are like a savior to all. All your loved ones, family members, your friends, your colleagues, when they are near you, they will feel you because your virtue will shine forth. Understand? Your what they call noble qualities will shine forth. Because if you already transform your noble eightfold path, they will be a part of you. You will have right view leading to all the right thought. Then all the very gentle and pleasant good speeches. That all your actions are very beautiful, very graceful, very tactful, very caring type. And they are all based on sincerity, honesty, generosity, joy. They are incapable of negativity. And the way you live your life, you have right livelihood, right living. You won't live your life like before. heedless and all those things. So you don't worry about that phase. If you really pass through that phase, it will not be long. Because it's like at a certain stage of your cultivation, you like want to silence yourself. You just don't want to get yourself involved in all this heedless thing where you are very serious about the cultivation. But it's just a phase. It will come to pass very fast. Because as you understand, your mind transform again. The understanding will transform you. Then the real understanding is there is such thing as life. You cannot develop the understanding of the mundane and the supramundane, then you cannot fit into life. Then you tend to like hermit. They want to isolate themselves. They stay in the what they call mountains or in what they call nature's place. Then they don't want to get involved with society. Then they feel very peaceful, very calm, and very happy. I mean, that is people's choice, understand? But if you want to really test yourself, you have to come back to society. When you come back to society and you realize your defilement, they are already rooted out, no more. And you will know it. The form and mind will know it. It's no more inside there. No more. Those stirring, agitation, movement, all this, no more already. Then inside, like, empty. Empty. And it understands very clearly, this form and mind is not them. It's just a tool and a vehicle for them to use. Karmically conditioned out for them to use. And all this understanding is very clear. Okay? why cannot pass your time? Even you got nothing to do, you are still very peaceful. Because the mind that actually wants to get itself involved is the mundane mind, understand? The thinking mind. The thinking mind loves a lot of this thing, understand? But later you will come to understand, because everyone is different. If you walk the sainthood way, then maybe you got less thing to look at. You just want to finish off and then be with your own form and mind and just wait for the cessation. And that is different. But you walk the longer way, the bodhisattva way, you have your vows. You have your affinity with living beings. You got a lot of things to do, and I tell you. You are very busy. But you will not do because of craving anymore. You do because you fulfill those vows. You will understand the causes and conditions behind. That's why you have to understand this nature's law of cause and effect very clearly with great wisdom. That's why you have to penetrate all of Dhamma in great depth and detail. This is what the Sammasambuddha, those who walk the Bodhisattva way, they cultivate. Because without this understanding, it's very difficult to blend into life, to go back into life. Because they can sacrifice, because they know this form of mind is not them. It's just a vehicle and a tool for them to come to fulfill whatever vow, affinity, and to experience whatever life that they want to experience. But the understanding is very different. Right? That's why understanding free your mind, make you very different. But when you are not in those state, if you use your thinking mind to try to understand, then you think it's very miserable. to know how to pass your time. There is no such thing. Even sitting at home, nothing to do. I just silent. Beautiful. Then if I got my duty, I got condition, that's why I teach so many days a week. How come I can still teach? If I need to prepare, I cannot teach. Understand? Because every 1 week is almost packed. And people see me, people consult me, and I still got my life, my children, my family, my classmates, my friends. I still attend to many things. There is no different from a normal human being. That's why you see me. Do you see that I'm very different? When I eat with you all, do I look very different? Like, well, very mindful. Yeah? Chewing. No, I just eat. Because the awareness inside is different. It's fully aware. Every moment, every instant is with that true nature. Yeah, the mundane mind collapse already. There is no more mundane mind. That clarity shine forth. It's like that one. All the time like that one. So how can I explain to you? It's very difficult. Like a fish, always in the water. You tell him got land one, got air one, no need water one. The fish say you crazy. All the time he in the ocean, see water only. Well, you say, no, you come out, got land, got air, then got beautiful nature and all those things. You say, you crazy. Because like human being, heedless, we always live within the field of thought. So to us, to most Puttujana, they will have this idea. No? Without thought, they cannot live life. No? There must be thought. No? And thought is so important to them. No? Oh. Like without thought, they are nobody. They die. Then I got a few classmates. They asked me, when you meditate, what you do? I said, I don't do anything. Don't do anything, I said. He closed the eye, he sleep. I say, very easy. Meditation doesn't mean you have to sit down and close your eye. I say, can you silent? No thought. And that is meditation. Well, he tried, you know. He said, crazy. Where can silent no thought on? He said, because his thought is so proliferating. He said he wants to even have a good sleep also so difficult. He has to take this, what they call sleeping pill. tranquilizer to help him sleep sometimes. Because a lot of tension, stress. Then the mind is there for no reason, think a lot. Is it? Cannot stop. Then he need to smoke. Then he need to drink beer to make himself peaceful. There are many people who are like that. But when you understand the mind, when you have developed the understanding and the training of the mind, then you will develop the understanding to use it appropriately. But the mind that is trained is very different. It's very heedful. Has a lot of clarity and understanding. The untrained mind is heedless. Like a devil's workshop. Create havoc for you. That's why the heedless are as if dead. No? Spiritually dead. No? So in this universe or in this world of ours, there are so many walking dead. No? Spiritually dead. But they are so heedless throughout the day. If you don't believe, you check yourself. Are you ever mindful inside? From inside, you aware, come out. Throughout the day, you are most of the time lost in thought, heedless. Not with the moment at all. You seldom with the moment. With the moment means what? When you aware, standing aware, your mind and your body as one. Then when you see phenomena and mind as one, no thinking one, it just moves like that. There is pure perception. But it doesn't think. Well, you all see something only think. See something only you frightened, fearful. Or hear horn, hear panic, or thunder. We are here, stir very fast. You are hardly aware. When you are aware, it's always here. It cannot move. Cannot move. We have that mind, stay. Because it is with that nature, fully aware. That's why the Buddha is aware, awakened. The rest are sleeping. You have yet to wake up if you don't have heedfulness. But when you have heedfulness, you like awaken from that dream state. The heedless are like dreaming. They don't live life. They existed through life. Because they are hardly aware. They are very, very heedless and they think a lot. And the mind is like restless. Think a lot. Okay? Another 3 minutes. We have to end at 10:30. If you got any question, next time you can write it down. Then maybe I can cut short the talk further. But there are certain topics which are quite like no need much explanation already. But you must read the 12 September 2013 transcript. That will help you a lot. You go back and read. A lot of things are mentioned inside there. So when you can develop the understanding, you come here and meditate, then you will understand faster. Then you can ask very good question, very appropriate question, like what those Kayanamita has been asking. Yeah, when you understand already, you will ask question differently. Okay? Anybody else? Any question? One last one. Ah, yes. Oh, very good question. Oh, when you are sick, you already have the understanding. We have the daily contemplation, 5 daily contemplation, remember? The third one. Oh, sorry, the second one. This body of mine is of the nature to be diseased or sick or get injured, understand? For it has not gone beyond disease and sickness or injury. So these are the things you need to endure. Endure is very easy. You just relax and silence your mind. Then the consciousness, because it's trapped in this body, it will be aware, understand? So the tactile consciousness. So like fever, you will feel it. Then you know your body has fever, understand? Means certain part of the body, the qi flow is already not in harmony. Because this body is of the nature to decay, understand? Like a car. Off and on, certain part will go wrong. Then it will not perform the way it used to perform. And then you need to develop the awareness of it. Then when you are aware that this car already has problem like this body, then what you need to do is you need to look for a good mechanic. Then send it for servicing. Then for your case, disease and sickness, you need to seek medical attention. You seek medical attention. That's why there are certain defilements which you need to endure. So endure and accept is the third one. Before you have medical attention, you need to endure, understand? Like fever, even sometimes pain, injury or what. Before medical attention comes, you need to endure. Because you cry also no use, understand? The condition is really like that. This form will go the way of nature. Your consciousness trapped inside your experience. So the wisdom is like the Buddha said, body is sick, the mind need not be sick. That's why you can be aware that it can actually endure and accept. And it's very beautiful. No? Because when you reflect and contemplate on the second turning, or the first noble truth, what did the Buddha say? First noble truth, second turning. This noble truth of suffering is to be second turning is what? Understood. Oh, then you tell yourself, oh, very good. If I don't get sick, I don't have the condition to understand this noble truth of suffering. So when you experience that with full awareness, then you understand the difference between a normal functioning body when there is no sickness, then you start to develop the appreciation of good health. That's why you go and check the sutta, certain part. The Buddha quote, your highest, what they call, I don't know, highest what, is health. Understand not? Highest wealth is health. When you have good health, it's a real blessing. I feel so good when I have a condition where my this 60-year plus form still you don't have any problem, like it's still in good shape, like no problem at all. Wow, I feel very good, I tell you. I appreciate it like anything, because I have gone through 24 years ago when I fall sick, through the awareness, I aware of all this, whatever tactile consciousness that arise, then whatever mind state that this consciousness feel, understand? It's so different, understand? That consciousness is so peaceful, so beautiful. But when you are in the state of sickness and disease and all this injury, the consciousness inside is different. But because your mind is no longer deluded, you will not lament anymore. You will not complain and, oh, you, this stupid disease, why come and disturb me? Your mind cannot do that type of thing already. It cannot really. It will just understand. This is condition arising. Condition like that will be like that. You got two choices. React and become miserable. accept and become peaceful. That's why the Buddha said, body sick, mind need not be sick. Then during the early day, I remember when I was walking, then I hit something. Because this leg, sometimes they got certain thing. They like built certain thing, got metal thing come on. Then you walk, then you didn't really see because these are very odd places. Then suddenly you hit your knee. Normal people would have cried like anything, very painful. But that time when I hit, then the techno conscious so strong. You see, and you understand all, then you just laugh. You just laugh. Then you can see the whole thing, how it arises and how it subsides and how it becomes what it is. You're fully aware. That's why it's so different. That is just joy. Oh, that is experience. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood now, completely understood. Because you got two choices. Cry, miserable, react. That is your choice. And most people do that. Then get angry, blame stupid people. Why put like that? Then say a lot of foul language somehow. I'm going to sue him. I'm going to get my lawyer to write. Why must life be like that? Why can't you be at peace with everything? Then reflect, contemplate, see what are your options. You got two choices. Accept and become peaceful. But if you can claim insurance, you claim. Understand? Like car accident. Argue for what? Got insurance claim. Tell him, don't worry, claim my insurance. Fully insured on this one, don't worry. Even third party also you can claim. So life is to be understood. Then when you understand this form and mind is not really what you are, then everything in this world is just condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. It's just a phenomenal world. Then why are you still deluded by it? Why you still get yourself entangled with it, grasping onto it, reacting over it, becoming so personal about it? Just form and mind. Phenomenal world, condition arising, just consciousness, coming and going. But you cannot see all this because you don't meditate. To you, it's so real. Understand? That guy simply drive his car. Didn't see one. They use the word, the T word, cock eye on. What for? Understand? No point. But if you really have that understanding, you will apologize. I'm really sorry if I caused you any injury or harm. I will take you to the hospital and I will pay for whatever. Then you talk to people nicely, accept what happened, understand? You need to apologize, you apologize. Otherwise, you end up like that guy who died, just because of one parking lot. You heard about it? SS2 there, what's the guy? Alicat's agent, ex-agent, 50 years old. He met one violent guy, 30 years old. He, over a parking lot, he punched him, 3 punches. Later on, 8 hours later, just died like that. Pitiful, very pitiful. But what to do? This is nature, this is life, this is karma. We better end 10:35 already. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. You got anything to say for us? Yeah, relative. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sadhu. Yeah. I had to pass it to Chua. Yeah. You pass to me first. Sadhu. Sadhu. Then I have to offer this back to Brother Chua. He sent me here. Very kind of him. Sadhu. Sadhu. See, he offered back to your society. So empty there. Nothing changed hand in there. But so much wholesomeness done. You get to rejoice. You get to perform wholesomeness. The society's wholesomeness benefit all the members. Then I also get to fulfill my gratitude towards him for sending me, providing transport. And he is very punctual. And he almost every talk since the last few months, he has been actually very kind, sending me and my wife. Then every day, drive us here and drive us back. So he also helped Brother Gan. Otherwise, Brother Gan got to drive on Klang, fetch me, bring me back. Then after that, send me back and come back to Klang again. So you all should actually thank him for his sacrifice. During the early day talk, he did it. So it's not easy. I saw him, I pity him. Wow, drive all the way. First time he doesn't know the way. He came a bit late. Then later on, came very early, but very tiring. Because there were one or two trips the daughter was with her. So sometimes you can have condition to help people relieve their duty from this unnecessary driving. Very good. That's why I lucky I got Brother Chua, Mimi also. They also interested, they want to come. Normally early day I drive on, but Klang, the traffic is terrible. And at night some more. Then, because for the last 5-6 years, I have stopped driving long distance, so I never drive home anymore. Last time I used to drive home, Alostar, and during that time, no problem. But after long time didn't drive, you asked me to come out at night, rather, I prefer not to. Then also, if I can have proper rest while I travel, when I come here, I don't feel so tired. Otherwise, caught in the traffic jam, then come here somewhat late. Last time was still, don't know where to eat also. Come to claim, don't know where to eat also. Then luckily we found Kim Hyo. Okay, you want to do the sharing of merits? Okay, we will do the usual Pali chanting. Okay, compose your mind, recall to mind all the wholesomeness that you have developed. Then we will share all these merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you.